This is Chad Greenway, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Yes, sir. That's right, Mr. Chad Greenway. Had it correct. You are listening to the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn. We kicked the Wobcast off with a Chad Greenway sounder because he has re-signed with the Minnesota Vikings for one last hurrah in the 2016 season, helping to lead this team, hopefully, back to another division title and another run into the playoffs.
Vikings linebacker Chad Greenway back for another season in 2016 to open the new stadium. U.S. Bank Stadium number 52 will be running out there. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited. My family and I are both very excited. Obviously, it's been a goal of mine and our entire family to finish a Viking. You know, to be here for our 11th season and to play for this organization. So we couldn't be more excited to be back.
Here we're sitting about you're preparing for your 11th season. We're almost there. Think back to your first season as a Viking. What are some things that you remember about that time?
Yeah, just the whirlwind. You know, 06 to get drafted to come into camp. Yeah, I remember things like, you know, it's funny the things you remember, like the conditioning test, going to your first training camp. I remember my roommate was Ben Lieber. Just you start to build these relationships. Obviously, you know, at the end of training camp and beginning of preseason, I tear my ACL. And just remember that whole grind, obviously, to get to 07. And then in my first game against Atlanta, you know, just that year and the struggle and the grind and the how much harder it was mentally than it was physically. And now to think back 10 years ago and to see myself sitting here going to my 11th season, it's been kind of a fairy tale, to be honest with you.
In the aftermath of signing with the team, Chad says he accomplished his dream to go out as a Viking and play for one franchise only. It'll be awesome to have number 52 back in the room with that young linebacking core helping to lead this Vikings defense. Now, where does Chad stand all time in Vikings lore? You may be wondering to yourself right now. Well, he's a three-time defensive team MVP. Led the club in tackles for six straight seasons from 2008 to 2013, tying Scott Studwell for most in Vikings history. He is fourth in Vikings history among all defenders in tackles, and he has a chance to climb up there if he has a great season. He's fourth in starts and fourth in sacks by a linebacker. He is a three-time Vikings Community Man of the Year, as community conscious as they come when it comes to pro athletes. He was the 2012 Corey Stringer Good Guy Award. So when it comes to Vikings lore, Chad Greenway has a profound place in it. Nate, as someone who grew up in the Midwest as a University of Iowa fan yourself, which is where Chad Greenway played, and now as a Vikings employee for the second time over, you would agree that there is a profound place in Vikings history for one Chad Greenway.
Certainly. And then whenever the time comes that he does call it quits, mm-hmm. assuming he stays a Viking throughout that time, you have to start thinking about possibly a Ring of Honor spot for
yes.
him down the road a little bit.
I totally agree with that, and I would personally be one to stand on the table and say that he's deserving of that honor. And it's not one that that you take lightly. You know, with all due respect to Chad, I don't think that the Pro Football Hall of Fame will come knocking for him, as great of a player as he was. But because he was such a good player, he was such a great ambassador for the Vikings, and he was here for such a long time, I think Ring of Honor possibilities are definitely in play for someone like Chad Greenway. So very good news that he had re-signed with the Vikings and that it is now official. We will have 52 back in purple for 2016. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, Nate, from Chad Greenway to the man who was largely responsible for signing Chad Greenway back to the Vikings, and that's Vikings GM Rick Spielman. He was on NFL Network recently, kind of giving a rundown of the Vikings, putting a cap on what happened last year, going through what's already happened this offseason, and looking ahead, of course, to the 2016 NFL Draft. Here's Rick Spielman on NFL Network.
Now, congratulations on a great season in 2015. What impressed you the most by your squad last year?
Oh, I think it's the leadership that Coach Zimmer and the coaching staff are bringing to this young football team. I know we have a young roster, but they do such a great job teaching and developing our young talent, and you saw a lot of our guys and a lot of our young players step up last year, and it resulted in a lot of wins for us.
Hey, Rick, David Carr here. I'm curious your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater. Numbers are pretty much the same from his rookie season. Winning percentage went up, but what are you expecting for him in his third year?
Well, I think he's going to take another step forward, just like all these young quarterbacks do. And you see in their third and fourth year just what Wilson did out in Seattle and even Cam this year and how he took off. I think it's just the natural development of these young, talented quarterbacks. And I think his rookie year, the offense was a little bit more focused around Teddy once he got comfortable. And you've seen the numbers he put up the last six or seven games. And then last year we got Adrian Peterson back, and Teddy didn't have as many opportunities to maybe throw or develop as a normal quarterback because of the talent we have in Adrian Peterson. So I think this year going forward, I think the coaches have a really good idea and a better understanding of how to utilize Adrian, but also keep Teddy on the path he's headed.
Rick, it's Brian Baldinger. Good morning. And, you know, you go to Green Bay to clinch the division a year ago, and I look at the defensive roster and the guys that you have drafted in recent years, Sharif Floyd and Anthony Barr and Hendricks and Rhodes, and all I see is just this flurry of young talent. The young talent, and Mike Zimmer has really kind of molded these guys. I mean, you got a nucleus right now defensively that really can compete year in, year out, I think.
Yeah, and that's our goal, if we're drafting well, our goal has always been to keep those guys and to sign those guys to extensions when they get into their second year. And they've really bought into Coach Zim and his philosophy and this scheme. And, when Coach Zim came in, he saw that there was some talent on this roster. And what he does and his defensive staff do is great job is identifying these guys' strengths and adjusting his scheme to what these guys do best. And I think you're seeing the results now.
Hey, Rick, Aaron Coscarelli here. You know, it was a tough way to go out in the wild card round last season. You lost on that game-winning field goal on your home field nonetheless. What was going through your mind when that kick ended up going wide? I got to ask you that.
I just have flashbacks of our loss down in New Orleans before we were in 2000 with Brett Favre. But, that's part of the game. That's why it's such a great game and why we have such great fans, because everything is so unpredictable. And it was very cold, but I know we wouldn't have been in that situation if Blair didn't hit those other three field goals earlier in the game. So, but it ended rough. But I know the next day we were getting ready to move on and start our off-season process and how we're going to get better.
Rick, Adrian Peterson, he's back again this year. Last year led the league in rushing after being gone for an entire season. Do you see more of the same out of the Texas native this season?
Well, I never put anything past Adrian Peterson or ever doubt Adrian Peterson, because every time someone doubted him, he's came back to prove people wrong. And I know he came back last year and led the league in rushing again. And even though he's an older, he's a unique back and maybe one of those type of players that you only see come around every so often. He's that unique. And I'm looking forward to him having another great year this year and him growing in this offense.
Yeah, and his handshake, it is a thing of legend, Rick. Now, you moved up in the draft a few times. You got some key players, Harrison Smith, Cordarrelle Patterson, Teddy Bridgewater. Are you going to make a move this year?
I don't know. It's, you know, we were pretty active for us in free agency this year. I know our biggest goal was to address the offensive line, and we went out and signed Andre Smith and Alex Boone, signed Mike Harris back, who started for us last year. But we signed some guys on defense as well. So by us being able to do what we did in free agency, it's going to leave number 23 wide open to us. We're not locked into anything. It'll be truly a following your board and take best player available. And that also gives you the opportunity. If there's something unique, we may move up. But if there's enough depth, which I think there's enough depth in this draft, that you could move back and accumulate more picks.
Vikings going best player available. That is according to their general manager, Rick
Boy,
Spielman.
Is that breaking news? Did you ever hear that before?
Exactly. I like where you're thinking. Thank you very much. Rick Spielman, Vikings GM, thanks so much for the time, and good luck in 2016.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
All right, well, obviously, Rick doesn't break any news. He didn't tell us who he was going to take at 23.
Just the best overall player.
Right. So no surprise there. And the best overall player has been a philosophy that, every team says they do it. And whether they actually do it 100% of the time or not, we'll never know because we're not in the draft room. But more times than not, it certainly looks like Rick Spielman does that. And the example I always use for that is way back in 2007, when the Vikings took Adrian Peterson. They were coming off a 2006 season where they signed Chester Taylor to a free agent contract. He ran for over 1,000 yards and looked to be a good free agent signing, so the Vikings didn't need a running back, everyone thought, and then Adrian falls to them at number 7 and they take him. So going all the way back to then, even going through some of the more recent drafts, you know, the Vikings subscribe to that philosophy. I think 2013, when the Vikings ended up taking Sharif Floyd, Xavier Rhodes, and Cordarrelle Patterson, I think the Sharif Floyd pick is another example of taking the best player available. He was thought by most to be a top 10 pick in 2013. For whatever the reason was, he fell and was on the clock at 23 for the Vikings, and no one really thought the Vikings were going to take a D tackle that year, but Sharif Floyd was there, and so the Vikings pounced on him. I thought it was interesting what Rick said about the impact having Adrian Peterson on the roster had on Teddy's season in 2015. I thought he had some pretty candid comments for us right there, basically saying, you know, the offense was more tailored to Teddy in 2014, his rookie season. Adrian comes back in 2015, and that may have been why some of the development slowed, or at least why some of the numbers weren't improved from 2014, was because of the existence of Adrian on the roster. Pretty candid comments by Rick. I think it'll be interesting to see if the philosophy or the play calling or whatever changes in 2016 to kind of maybe meet in the middle of what it was in 2014, where it was really centered around Teddy because Adrian was not playing, to what it was in 2015 when Adrian was back and it was all centered around Adrian. Maybe 2016 is somewhere in the middle. I thought that was interesting. And then another interesting point from Spielman is, from that interview, the philosophy of building through the draft and then wanting to extend second contract offers to the draft picks that you hit on. And where that can get sticky is when you start doing a good job in the draft and you start having a bunch of really good draft picks, it gets expensive and you can't keep everyone. Now you got to make some tough decisions. And the Vikings, and this is a good quote-unquote problem to have, maybe coming up on a period of that here, because Harrison Smith, they exercised the fifth-year option on him, and Matt Khalil, two draft picks from 2012. Those guys are both going to be coming up for contract extension possibilities this year. And then the 2013 draft class, which we mentioned, with the three first-rounders, all of those guys are going to be entering into that phase as well. And then right behind them, the 2014 class, you have two first-rounders and Anthony Barr and Teddy Bridgewater. So, you know, Rick's going to want to extend second contracts to as many of those guys as possible. But, I mean, you might not be able to do all of them. Or in order to do all of them, you have to make some tough decisions on some other guys on your roster. So it'll be an interesting period here coming up for the Vikings front office as they make some of those contract and business decisions that we hear and talk so much about this time of year. So, all right, let's go back to the NFL Network. And a draft pick from last year, Eric Kendricks, he joined NFL Network's Total Access to talk about his time with the Vikings so far and what's ahead in 2016.
Eric Kendricks coming off a stellar rookie season for the Vikings, joining us in studio today with Michael Robinson and also with Sean O'Hara. Last time we saw you, Eric, you were really cold and really disappointed as well. Have you come to terms with the way that the season ended for you guys?
I mean, things happen in football. You know, I played the game for a long time now, and I've been on the other side of that. So, I mean, it was hard to deal with at the time, but now I just use it as motivation. I'm sure me and my teammates are all thinking the same thing, and we're going to use it to build on.
I don't know why we got to show this play right here, but, you know, I'm just curious. Like, we love and hate kickers all at the same time, but did Blair say anything to you guys after he missed that in the locker room?
I mean, he didn't need to say anything, you know. We all felt for him. You know, we all would not want to be in that position ourselves. He made three great kicks that earlier in that game. So, I mean, you can make these arguments all day, but, I mean, nobody wanted to make that kick more than Blair. So, and he works hard. I see it every day. I mean, things happen. It's football.
He makes that 9 out of 10.
Talk about your quarterback, man. I'm a Teddy Bridgewater fan, but I also think he needs to do a little bit more to get you guys to the next step. How is he as a leader? How is he in the locker room, man? I mean, he seems like a timid guy, but I don't know him in the locker room. Talk about your quarterback and how he is as a leader.
I mean, first and foremost, he is a leader. So, yeah. I mean, guys look up to him. Me, myself, especially coming in as a rookie, he kind of showed the way, you know. He was doing things right. He's a second year himself, so he's still trying to figure this out himself. So, I think he's only going to get better. I mean, I feel like we have a good quarterback, and we're going to build on it, like we always do.
You guys won the division last year in a weird year for the Packers. Assuming that they're healthy this season, do you think that you guys are still the team to beat?
Absolutely. You know, we're more hungrier than ever. So you got to stop us, I feel like, especially on defense. You know, that's all I can speak for because that's what I play.
That's all you talking trash, hey. Man. Say it. Say it, man.
Man, you got to beat us. We're very determined, and, you know, we got a chip on our shoulder, and that's how we play. That's how we practice. That's our mentality. So I got our money on us.
I got to ask this one question before we get you out of here, right?
I got another
one, too. He's not going anywhere. He's here for the hour.
I'm just saying, man.
Settle in.
All right, get it in. Be quick, though. I'm double dutching.
Adrian Peterson, man, are you allowed to hit him at practice?
Do I want to hit him at practice?
I sit up on him.
I get a little piece of him during pregame, but, I mean, man, he's been doing it for years at the highest level, at the best. You know what I mean? The best. So there's no reason to be banging up on him in practice.
He can hurt you with a handshake. He's really, you know, you mentioned hungry. You guys are hungrier than ever. But you guys are more physical than I think I've ever seen the Vikings, not since the great purple people eaters. But I have a question. Does the name Rip Hawk mean anything to you?
I mean,
you know who Rip Hawk is?
I'm a new school Rip Hawk. Yeah, it's but I all due respect, it means something to me, but
yeah.
I feel like we developed our own mentality now in this new school, you know.
Well, Rip Hawkins, for people at home, this man led the team in tackles, all right? The last rookie to lead the Minnesota Vikings tackles, Rip Hawkins, in 1961.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know who that was.
I'm giving you props, man. That's impressive. No, now we know.
Yeah, I didn't want to
know. Now you know, but
Sean,
you're in the middle.
Sean throwing curveballs at you here. You've been here for 2 minutes. Here's a test.
You're in the middle of defense. But Lindsay just said you guys are the best defense in the division. And to me, I think your defense is what catapulted you guys. Now, you just mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. My question to you about your defense is, all right, as tough as you guys were, did you guys ever feel like, hey, you know what, man? We can't let them score because our offense isn't built to come from behind. And Teddy Bridgewater completed 2 passes all season long over 30 yards.
Yeah,
that's lowest among all quarterbacks. So did you guys have that kind of mindset like, hey, if we're going to win a game, we've got to be stingy. We can't let up any points.
I feel like that's always our mentality, is to not let the offense score, period. Period. And that's it. You know, we don't want them crossing that goal line no matter what. And that's the mentality we have on defense. No matter if we score 60, no matter if we score, you know, 5, we want to hold them to nothing. And that's all of our mentality. We all believe we can do that. And we've shown that we can hold teams to a low amount of points, if none.
Okay, the next big pillar in the NFL's offseason calendar is going to be the schedule release, which actually is going to be released later tonight. So
so you have a handful of hours to listen to the Swapcast.
And then we're going to have another one to talk about the schedule release. So we got lots of stuff coming at people. So schedule release is tonight, and we'll be back to talk more about it. But in the meantime, Vikings Beyond the Gridiron, our Emmy Award-winning documentary-style TV show, did a segment last year about this time on how the schedule is created, featuring one of the NFL schedule makers, Michael North. Take a listen to this.
Since the Super Bowl in February, anticipation and excitement has been building for the return of the pigskin. But getting to the opening weekend of NFL action all started in New York City, in a small room in the league office.
It's a team of 4 locked in this room, essentially from the day after the Super Bowl ends, till the commissioner comes knocking on that door and saying, let's go, boys, time to put one out there. 140 computers running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, literally from the day after the Super Bowl ends, and searching through this massive search tree. If you imagine that for each one of these teams, they've got 16 games, can go on any one of 17 time periods, on any one of 5 different networks. You're talking about hundreds of millions of possible schedules just for each individual team. Multiply that across 32 teams, and you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of trillions, quadrillions of possible NFL schedules every year. And we're looking for the one. That one schedule that is as fair as possible to all of our teams, makes the best possible television, works around stadium conflicts, travel issues, London, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, all the things that we've got in our minds. So it's a constant race against the clock, searching through essentially a beach looking for the best grain of sand.
Making the NFL schedule each year is like putting together a giant puzzle, where a change in just one piece can directly impact the entire puzzle. 32 teams, 17 weeks of action, and 256 total games. It isn't an easy task and something that never makes everyone happy.
What we do is reach out to the 32 teams and the five television partners for their wish lists. Everybody's got requests, everybody's got preferences, everybody feels like they're owed a little something from last year. So it's our job to take in all that input from all the teams and all the network partners and then start doling out the matchups in a way so that the television is as good as hopefully it can be. We're looking to put the biggest games in television windows where as many fans as possible can see the games. And also do it in a way where the impact on our clubs isn't competitively unfair. At the end of the day, you know there's going to be a three-game road trip in there for somebody, or half the league's going to open with two away to start, or somebody's going to have to catch that week four bye. But has it fallen on somebody who it hasn't happened to in a while? And is it overall fairness equate to when we make those phone calls in April, given the clubs their schedules? There's nobody on the other end of the line that feels like we're dead and buried already.
All right, let's close the show with some of your mail. We love getting
not
emails.
Not my mail.
No, not yours, Nate. The people listening, their mail.
Right.
I don't mind getting mail from you. It's usually like about work stuff and technical stuff that no one cares about. The mail I get from fans is about the team and the draft.
It's a little more fun, probably.
Fun to talk about. But send me your ideas whenever you have them.
I'll do that.
Okay. I love fan mail because the reason we have the site and the reason we put what we do put on the site is to entertain and inform the fans. So whenever the fans can direct the conversation, I think that's the most efficient way to do it. So love fan mail. Thank you for sending it to me. Every piece of fan mail I get, I answer as long as there aren't swear words directed at me or someone I really like. Thanks for all that. Let's get to some fan mail. Nate, you have three of them. Let's answer these questions, and then we'll be out as we await the scheduled release.
David sends the first of three clean emails.
Okay.
He says, while most mocks are showing the Vikings taking a receiver at 23, my guess is that they take a defensive tackle. He says, D-line is good in this draft, and at 23, they might get a defensive tackle with a top 10 or 12 grade. Given the defense's problems when Linval Joseph was hurt, and given the D-line rotation, a defensive tackle with a high draft grade makes more sense than wide receiver with a second-round grade. For the second round, I see them taking Nick Martin.
Center from Notre Dame.
From Notre Dame.
Okay.
Younger brother of Zach Martin.
Indeed.
Right? Yes. They don't just have the same last name, like it's for a reason.
Right. Okay. It's not a coincidence that they're both Martins from Notre Dame.
No, gotcha.
Yep.
And then he says, as for wide receiver, my guess is they use a later-round pick and hope lightning strikes again like it did with Stephon Diggs last year.
Love this email. It's an open-minded thinker and someone who does not just fall into the pigeonholed mock drafts that we're all seeing, which has us taking Josh Doctson, Corey Coleman, Will Fuller, or Laquon Treadwell at 23 and no one else. Love this email. We've heard a lot about the depth of this defensive class, particularly the defensive line, and so that immediately makes most people think, yeah, you can probably get a second rounder in the fourth round or maybe a first rounder in the third round. I love the way David is thinking. You can get a top 10 player in the 20s, maybe. Love that. And we know that Mike Zimmer likes to rotate his defensive linemen. We know that Mike Zimmer's defense is best when defensive tackles play well. Just look at Linval Joseph and Sharif Floyd. Look at Domata Peko and Geno Atkins in Cincinnati when Mike Zimmer was there. And so I love fortifying the depth and talent level of the defensive line, particularly the defensive tackle positions. And we talked about Sharif Floyd having a contract that's going to come up here in a little bit. So you kind of leverage against that and insure against that. I love this take. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I'm endorsing it. I'm just saying if it goes down this way, I can certainly see why the Vikings are thinking that way, and I love it. And I think that the wide receiver class is better with its depth throughout than it is with its top-end talent. And so if you have to rely on the second round for a receiver or the middle rounds for a receiver, I'm okay with that. And I think your probability for success is probably a little bit higher than it is looking for a mid-round corner or a mid-round big-bodied defensive lineman who can move. I think you got to get those guys earlier, generally speaking. And that Stephon Diggs was one of our better performing offensive players last year, and that we got him in the fifth round probably gives the Vikings a little bit of ammo and leeway in wanting to wait a round or two to take a receiver, since we know we found a gem in the fifth round last year. So love this email by David. I love getting great emails from fans like this. It stimulates great conversation. And if this is the way it goes down, it won't surprise me. With all of that being said, if the Vikings wind up taking the number one or number two receiver in this class at 23, that wouldn't surprise me either.
One note, last time they picked number 23, who did they take?
Sharif Floyd.
Defensive tackle, yeah. Sharif Floyd. Maybe David's onto something. Maybe. All right, email number two from Steve. Steve says, picking a player coming out as a junior, could he make a difference right away? Do players playing for 4 years make it easier to judge the players? Have the Vikings ever selected a junior from the draft?
Okay. Yes, the Vikings have definitely selected juniors from the draft. This is becoming more and more prevalent. In fact, you're seeing a record number of juniors come out now, it seems like, every single season. So this has become the norm in the NFL for juniors to come out. I do think when you have another year of tape on guys, on the seniors, that probably helps the evaluation process, I guess. It doesn't hurt. It's just more tape, more things to study. So there are a variety of reasons for a junior to come out. He might be good enough to come out, so he comes out because he's going to be a high pick, and why risk injury or poor performance in a senior season when you can just come out? There might be financial considerations for a player. The senior class that's coming up next year, or the junior class that's coming up next year, may be particularly strong, so you figure you may as well get out while the getting's good. There are a lot of reasons that underclassmen declare. It's now commonplace. And I don't think, as a general rule, teams prefer juniors over seniors or seniors over juniors. I think it's a case-by-case basis. Maybe in some positions, a guy playing all 4 years is more of a benefit than others, like a center maybe or a quarterback possibly. At the same time, if a junior center is coming out, it probably means he's really, really good. So I think there are pros and cons on each side, and I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Finally, William wants to know about Laquon Treadwell.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Treadwell ran a 4.63 in the 40, meaning he can't be a downfield threat. Do you feel we still select him if he's there at 23, or do you think we'll pick Fuller or Coleman as a better fit for us?
I don't think that running a 4.63 40, which is quote-unquote slow, I mean, only 4.6 seconds from right. 40 yards. God. Nobody's got cement blocks tied to his feet.
This guy was an athlete.
Yeah, seriously, man. Come on. Pick those feet up. I don't think running 4.63, although it's not blazing fast, I don't think that means you can't be a downfield threat. I mean, Anquan Boldin is not a guy that you would say is a great downfield threat, and he did not run a super impressive 40-yard dash. But if Anquan Boldin suddenly became 23 years old again, I would submit to you he's a top five pick in this draft. And he ran a 4.6-something 40. So I don't think that matters a ton. I think it's part of the process, but it's not everything. And I think the coaches are going to look at tape. You know, here's the other thing, too. With traits like speed and explosiveness and quickness and agility, those traits eventually leave your body as you grow older. What does not leave your skill set is, are you a good route runner? Are you tough in the run blocking game? How are your hands catching the ball? Your passion and love, those things don't really leave you. The quickness and the speed, that can kind of go down over time and make you less of a player. So if that's your calling card, I think you got a shorter lifespan, generally speaking, in the NFL. If your calling card is you're physical, you're tough, you run great routes, and you never drop passes, I think you got more staying power. So keep that in mind with Laquon Treadwell. Okay, that's it for the fan mail segment. Keep sending your fan mail in. We do the Monday morning mailbag. We do the pick six, and we love to incorporate fan mail right here on the Wobcast. So please keep sending them in. We love to have them. It creates great conversation, whether it's on air or even for the rest of us not on air when we're just chilling in the studio talking about it. We love to do that too. So thanks for sending in all of your great mail. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Wobcast. The schedule release is today, tonight at 7 Central. The NFL schedule will be released. We'll have coverage of it on Vikings.com tonight and into tomorrow. And then Nate and I will be back with another Wobcast very soon to break down the schedule. Maybe we'll get a Vikings player or two or a coach or two to join us to give us their thoughts on the schedule as well. Do we empty the notebook? Are we good?
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's it for now. Thanks, everyone, for listening. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This edition of the Wobcast is over. Enjoy the schedule release tonight and come back soon to listen to the next edition of the Wobcast where we break it all down. So, yeah!